Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Letitia Terry. How are you, Letitia?
I'm fine.
Excellent. We're in Hermitage here, or...
Tain-l'Hermitage,
which is the town at the bottom of the Hermitage Hill.
Exactly. Excellent. At the heart of it, yes.
Okay, and you work for Jubilé, which is... one of the top producers here.
Yeah, top of the producers in the Northern Rhône.
Yep, and you're a sommelier here in their lovely restaurant.
Yes.
You've just shown me all around, which is fantastic. It's been a lovely wee trip. I want to talk a wee bit about Hermitage today.
Yes.
And before we do that, just a wee bit on Jubilé. And do you want to just give us a really quick overview of the company and the family? Because it's changed ownership a wee bit recently as well, yeah.
Yeah, the Jubilé family, they have been here for a long, long time. They created the domain in 1834 with Antoine Jubilé and his two sons, Paul and Henri. And that's the eldest son who gave the name to the domain. So his wife for six generations. He has been owned by the Jubilé family as Paul Jubilé Aîné, the domain's name. And after many things happening, they sold the domain. And in 2006, beginning of 2006, that's a family based in the Champagne area, the Frey family, who bought the domain. So at the head, you have Caroline Frey. She's the owner and the winemaker as well. So a family bought another domain in 2002. That was Château La Lagune in Bordeaux. So it's a third Grand Cru classé. And Caroline Frey, she started to work there and developed the château. And in 2006, she came to the Rhône Valley. And she started to develop again the domain Paul Jubilé Aîné. So since that, she, the family, developed the domain as buying more vineyards. Mm-hmm. So we extended passing from 85 hectares to 120 hectares now.
But that's in the whole of Rhône Valley, isn't it? Not just in Hermitage.
Yeah, it's mainly, in the Northern Rhône appellation. Mm-hmm. And 12 hectares in the Southern Rhône with Châteauneuf-du-Pape appellation.
Yep.
But for the Hermitage, which is our main appellation for the Jubilé family, it's not our biggest, but it's our most important because of our top Hermitage called La Chapelle, which is well known now everywhere in the world. And for the Hermitage Hill, we do have we own 25 hectares.
But Hermitage is such a small...
Yeah.
How big is Hermitage?
So the appellation in total is 130 hectares.
Yeah, so 25 hectares is about 20% of it, or just under.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit under that. So we are one of the biggest producers.
Chapoutier is the biggest, then you guys.
Yeah, you have Chapoutier, then you have La Cave de Tain, which is the co-op of Tain-l'Hermitage, where several producers having vineyard there, and Jubilé. And Jubilé there.
Fantastic, fantastic. Let's talk a little bit about Hermitage. We've been up on the hill and had a look around. There's a couple of things first of all, let's talk about the climate. You mentioned there's a wind that blows through called the Mistral.
Yeah,
what's that about?
The Mistral, it's a very strong wind that is blowing any time of the year. And when it blows for a week or 10 days. So it's blowing hard. So it's a good thing in a way because we are lucky. All our vineyards here on the Hermitage is very steep slope. So it's very good when it rains a lot. The Mistral will come and dry off everything. So it's very good to avoid some disease and for the good maturity of the grapes.
Yeah.
But sometimes when it's blowing strong at some part, like when the vines are just growing and we are not able to attach them on the wood stick, the échalas, sometimes they can do damage as well.
Yeah.
So it's sometimes our enemy or our friend.
And the other thing about the Mistral, fruits, you know when they've got the flowers?
Yes.
And sometimes if it's blowing hard during fruit set, sometimes the flowers can't sit.
Yeah,
properly.
Yeah. Sometimes, but most of the time it's okay because you have the leaves around who protect it.
Yeah.
At the moment, we are taking off these leaves to help for the last kicking of the sugar and
ripening,
everything.
Yeah.
So it's why at the moment we are taking off the leaves. But the beginning is all the leaves around will protect quite well the grapes. So in general, that's fine.
And I suppose the nice thing about Hermitage and some of the better vineyards in the Northern Rhone is that they're often south-facing and the Mistral comes from the north. So do you get a bit of protection from the hills?
Yeah, as well, because the hill is not just one big hill. It's like a wave of hill.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them are quite well protected. Others are full exposed to heat. But at the end is why we plant it in one way or another. Because of that, to make sure that, you know, they will be protected. Sometimes it's why I think they keep the trees as well.
Oh, yeah, there's a few
so
trees.
So that can be a wall to protect the vineyards. Some part where you have trees. So,
oh, yeah. Breaks the wind up.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. So. We mentioned that it's on the Hermitage is basically south-facing. There's a bit of southeast slopes, etc. But the best vineyards are south-facing. Are they straight? That is Hermitage, isn't it? It's just hills facing south.
Yes. You have always a very good exposure. It can be south, east, southwest. The main one are facing south. So it gives a lot of richness in this hill. So, but because it's on the hill, you have different maturities and different flavors from the one on the bottom of the hill and the one on the top of the hill. So, but obviously the best vineyard will be facing south.
Okay. We'll get on to the different grape varieties that are grown there. Just a question. You mentioned hail earlier. Is hail a bit of a problem in Hermitage and Northern Rhone?
Every year is different. So it's very local in general when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So we are lucky enough compared to other region because Burgundy is always in trouble because of that. Sometimes Bordeaux as well as last year.
Yeah.
We have been quite lucky. But this year we had a lot of rain. And 10 days ago we had a little part of hail. But it was very local. So we had some vineyards attacked by it. In general, we have been okay compared to others. We have been okay. But there is some vineyard in Croix Hermitage and on top of the hill of the Hermitage. The one on the plain, not on the hill, but the one on the plain kind of suffer a little bit.
You mentioned earlier about the hill having different parts to it. And you said normally when I look at hills, I look at hills as three parts. You've got the top part,
mm-hmm.
which is often cooler because you've got winds coming over.
Yeah.
You've got the bottom part, which has got the richer soils because all the nice soils have run down the hill and
build
up at the bottom.
Yeah, bottom. Exactly.
So you find, and the middle part tends to be the warmest part and with the poorest soils. So often that's the sweet spot. In Burgundy, for example, that's where a lot of the sort of Grand Cru vineyards are in that centre.
Yeah.
What grapes do you grow in different parts of the hill and why?
So the Hill of the Hermitage, for the white, is two white grape variety we grow, is Marsanne and Roussanne. So it's mainly Marsanne.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very generous grapes, not too sensitive to weather condition, giving always very good and generous berries.
Yeah.
So very good for aging, complexity, aromats. And the Roussanne, it's been forgotten for some time, and because it's a very fragile grapes, very sensitive to weather conditions, so and not so much generous, but it gave a lot of freshness in your wine.
Yeah.
So it's why it's mainly Marsanne growing. Most of the producers in Hermitage use only Marsanne.
Yeah.
We like during the Jaboulet generation, they used to have always this kind of two-thirds of the 4 hectares we have will be Marsanne and the rest will be Roussanne. And even when the new family bought it, they kept the same idea, the same blend, because it was working very well.
Yeah.
And where are growing our Roussanne, it's a very rich soil, so we always very generous vineyards. And for the red, it's only Syrah.
Yeah, Syrah's the only thing that Northern
only
Rhone.
Red grapes growing in the Northern Rhone used in the appellation. We are not allowed to add any other red grapes.
Yeah.
We can add a bit of white grapes from the appellation is you are allowed in some of the appellation. In the Hermitage, you are allowed to add a little bit of Marsanne or Roussanne.
Do you guys do that?
No. We stay on Syrah, 100% Syrah. We like to keep the Syrah 100% to really keep the characteristic of it.
Okay. I tried the Marsanne and Roussanne earlier blend, and I thought it was quite nice. It did have quite a bit of oakiness to it, and you can really taste the freshness, because I tried it a Condru, which is 100% Viognier beforehand, and I love Condru. That's one of my favorite wines. You know, that lovely Viognier with the apricots and the richness.
Yeah.
But you said they were made almost identical, the Condru versus the Marsanne Roussanne from Hermitage.
At the fermentation and the vinification process,
yeah, but the Marsanne Roussanne, the oak was a lot more obvious to me, even though you said it had similar oaking levels, which I found quite interesting. How would you describe that sort of wine, that Marsanne Roussanne wine?
The Marsanne is very sensitive to the wood, so you will take it a lot. And the blend Roussanne-Marsanne is made in a way that is taking the wood and he waits to do the harmony between the fruit, the freshness, the acidity, and the smoky flavors. And the first few years, because the Hermitage white is like the red, they are made for aging. Mm-hmm. They get really interesting with time.
Yeah.
The first few years they are interesting, but they can really develop more complexity with time. And is why some flavors, they are very important the first few years, like the oakiness is very important, or the apricot. And with time, they will kind of get a harmony. They will melt together, and they will give later on the toasted flavors.
How long do you think you should age a Hermitage white?
Again, it's like everything. The vintage is very important. In general, the white Hermitage is around 10 years you keep it.
Mm-hmm.
But always advise to understand exactly the vintage. You buy your Hermitage, because some of them will be a bit sensitive and they won't age extremely well. After 10 years, you may get a little bit disappointed. But others, after 15 years, they are getting amazing. At the moment, a lot of people, they like the 1998. It's so rich, it's very aromatic. Obviously, you need to open your bottle before. The whites, you have to treat them like the red wine.
Let them breathe.
Yeah, you leave them breathe. You really need to understand them, and but you need to have a palate for that. Because now we are palate. We like wine who are very kicking, quite fresh, and we like complexity, but not too much. So we have to be very sensitive to that. So
probably the most famous wine is obviously the Syrahs. That's an Hermitage. That's what most people talk about.
Yes.
And you grow them in the middle. You grow the whites on the top of the hill where it's a bit cooler.
Yes.
But you grow the Syrah in the middle and at the bottom as well, don't you?
Yeah.
And you produce two types of Syrah. You've got the, what were they called?
So we have two different Hermitage. It's for the red, it'd be La Chapelle, most important cuvée, and La Petite Chapelle. So that's two different mix of blend.
I tried a 2001 Le Chapelle and a 2007 Petit Le Chapelle, and I thought the Petit Le Chapelle still had a lot of red fruits and blackberry aromas, and there was that sort of peppery note that I often look for in Syrah.
Yes.
But I noticed that the 2001 Le Chapelle, the peppery note had sort of gone into the back, and there was more of a sort of savory note dominating the wine. Do you often find as the Syrahs get older that you lose that peppery note?
Yes, because the first few years you have the spice and the pepper quite powerful, and the little berries like the blackcurrant, raspberries, very important, and strong tannin.
Yeah.
And with time, all that tendency of being softer. So you change the aromas. You have the first aromas and then second and third aromas. And when they get older, they are a little bit, the tannin are a little bit more softer.
Mm.
But, and the papery and spiciness is kind of, getting very, very soft. And because they are so kicking at the beginning, they are a little bit more fine with time.
I like that term kicking. That's more, that's talking about the acidity and tannins.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the first test when you test really, at the moment we tested the 2010 or 11, that's the first flavor you get. It's like, wow, it's full of spiciness in your mouth and nice acidity. You really found the blackcurrant there. And with time, you know, the all these strong flavors, they melt. They melt a little bit, and you go more on the truffle side, or like cherries, light cherries. So it's you're looking for something else.
Yeah. We talked about the Petit La Chapelle and the La Chapelle. And when we were on the hill, you said there's different soil types up on Hermitage. Do you want to just give us a quick overview of those?
Yeah. What is interesting with this appellation, with this hill of the Hermitage, it's the difference between all the soil. Most of the appellation here, you have always a typicity of soil for the Saint-Joseph, for the Creuse-Hermitage, or the Côte-Rôtie. They same type of soil. The Hermitage is a small appellation, only 130, but you get all these different soil you get in all the other appellation. So you find on the bottom of the hill, you will find limestone clay with a little pebble, like you found in the typicity of the Creuse Hermitage. Mm-hmm. Then you have a little part of the hill where you have on the top of it, you have La Chapelle. You have granite. That is the typicity of soil you find in Saint-Joseph. So it's on the other side, the right side of the Rhône. And on top of the hill, you will have more loess, the sandy soil.
Sandy loess, yeah.
Yeah. So all that give different richness, different flavors in your wine. And what we like to do is to do a blend of this different soil. We are not in the idea of making a parcel wine, an Hermitage only from one parcel to have one identity only. We like to use the complexity of this Hermitage, of this different soil. It's generous enough, and it'd be a shame not to use it and to express the Hermitage I should be.
And that's quite common for Hermitage, just to have a blend of the different subparts.
It depends of the producers. Everybody can do what they want.
Chapoutier does a blend. Chapoutier does a blend.
He have blend. He have parcel wines. Often people ask to Caroline Frey why she doesn't want to make any parcel wine, mm-hmm. a special Hermitage just from one part of the hill. And she always says that the idea is to, we have a generosity in this hill, we have all these different terroirs, and the expression of the Hermitage has to be like that. To use the mixity of the different soil, the different sun exposure, the freshness you will get from the top of the hill, that will bring a lot of spiciness in your wine, and the generosity of the fruit you will get from the bottom of the hill. So all that you can really get every year, the perfect Hermitage, and is what we are looking for every year.
Just quickly, the really right back in time, the name Hermitage, I've always wondered where it came from, and you're saying, do you want to just tell us a very quick overview of why you called La Chapelle and the name Hermitage?
So it's the history started a long time ago. It was on the 13th century during the Crusade. It was a knight called Gaspard de Sterinberg. Passed few times here, and one time he stopped and he asked to get a piece of land on top of this hill to build a little house and to live there, start to grow grapes, and a bit religious as well. And he was known as the Hermit. And later on, then when he died, several people came as well, lived again as hermit there. And they gave later the name of Hermitage to the hill. And with time, there were monks walking in the vineyard around here, decided to as a symbol to this knight, Gaspard de Sterinberg, to build a little house, a little chapel there. And, so now it's a bit a symbol of this Hermitage. hill. That's the little chapel. During the night, it's very interesting to see. Everything is black, and you see this little chapel, light up, and you only see that. So you think, why is this? It's all black, and you see this little chapel in the middle. And for Jaboulet, it's very important, this little monument, is because last century, it was an auction of different monuments here, and the Jaboulet family bought this little chapel. So we own it since 1919, so it's almost one century we own that.
Yep.
And as well, all our Hermitage wine are related to that. So it's why we call it La Chapelle, La Petite Chapelle. All our white Hermitage Chevalier de Sterenberg are all related to that. And it's why nobody else can call their Hermitage like that.
La Chapelle. In fact, there's different vineyards in Hermitage, isn't there? La Chapelle is one of the named vineyards.
Because it's a blend of several vineyards.
Oh, no. I realize that.
Yeah.
But there are named vineyards like... Lemel and
then after, yes, the hill has been divided in several parcels, and they all have different names. The most famous name will be where below La Chapelle is called Les Bessards.
Yeah.
Then on the other side, where we have our biggest part, is called Le Méal.
Yeah.
There we own 7 hectares altogether. Mm-hmm. Very good south exposure.
Yeah.
Then all around you have several names like Les Dionnières, Les Roucoules, Maison Blanche. There is many, many names like that. But the famous one will be mainly Les Bessards, Le Méal. Is why some producers like Chapoutier will have parcel wine. They will often use these names, but not always.
Okay, then. I think we're going to wrap it up there, Laetitia.
Yeah? Okay,
thank you
good.
Very much for your time. That was brilliant.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Cheers.